Today we're diving into the 808 tail glue method for rag-infused chaos in Ableton Lift 12, and this is one of those techniques that can instantly make a DNB drop feel more locked, more physical, and way more dangerous on a club system. The basic idea is simple, but the impact is huge. Instead of treating your kick, snare, break edits, vocal chops, and bass stabs like separate events, you use the tail of an 808 style hit as a kind of low-end adhesive. It's not a full bass line. It's not trap style 808 dominance. It's a pressure layer, a little low-frequency thread that runs under the groove and makes everything feel like it belongs to the same machine. And in rag-infused drum and bass, that matters a lot, because you want chaos, you want attitude, you want swing, edits, vocal energy, and weight. But you still need the drop to feel tight. So the goal here is to build a low-end tail that glues the rhythm together without muddying the mix. Let's start with the foundation, because this method only works if the drums already have a clear shape. Build an 8-bar loop first. Keep it simple and solid. You want a kick and snare pattern that feels like proper DNB, whether that's a classic backbeat on 2 and 4 or a more broken step placement. Under that, add a chopped break loop for movement. That break is important, because the 808 tail is going to glue against the break as much as the program drums. In Ableton Live 12, put your kick and snare into a drum rack, then add your break loop on an audio track, and warp it if needed so it stays tight. If you're in session view, that's fine too, but make sure the timing feels solid before you add any low-end support. And as a quick practical tip, keep the drum bus peaking around -6 dB or so. You want room. DNB low end gets crowded fast. Now let's create the 808 tail source. Load a short 808 style sample into Sampler. The key thing here is to choose a sample with a punchy front and a tail that falls off naturally. You do not want a super long trap style sub blast that just keeps hanging around forever. In DNB, the spaces between hits are tighter, so the tail has to be controlled. Set Sampler to classic mode and one-shot trigger. Keep the fade very small, just enough to avoid clicks. Leave the start close to the transient. Then tune the sample to the key of your track, or at least to the root note of the bass movement you're using. If the sample has too much top-end click, low-pass it a bit, maybe somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz depending on the sound. If the tail is smearing into the next hit, shorten the release or the note length instead of trying to fix everything with volume. That's a really important mindset here. In DNB, timing fixes often sound more professional than level fixes. If you want more control, use Sampler instead of Sampler. That's especially useful if you want the tail to follow specific notes in a more intentional way. But for most cases, Sampler is enough to get the job done quickly. Now for the actual glue part. Don't write a busy melody with the 808 at first. Treat it like a rhythmic support layer. Place just a few notes. Use short note lengths, usually much shorter than you'd use in trap or hip-hop. Think off beats, think gaps, think little momentum pushes after the snare or between break hits. A really solid starting point is to place one tail note after a snare, another one leading into the next bar, and maybe a variation later in the phrase, around bar 4 or bar 8 if you're building a longer loop. You're basically creating rhythmic adhesive. The tail is there to make the spaces feel connected, and this is where the ragga feel starts to come alive. If you've got vocal chops or skank stabs, the tail should interact with them, not compete with them. Sometimes the best move is to let the tail answer a vocal phrase, then pull back for the next one. Think in phrases. DNB arrangements usually get stronger when something changes every 2 or 4 bars, even if the change is small. Now let's shape the tail so it has attitude but stays under control. A good basic chain is EQ8, then saturator, then drum bus, then utility. Start with EQ8. High pass around 20 to 30 Hz to remove useless rumble. If the tail feels boxy or cloudy, try a small cut around 200 to 350 Hz. If it needs more weight on smaller speakers, a gentle boost around 60 to 90 Hz can help, but keep it subtle. You're reinforcing the groove, not trying to turn this into a giant sub-explosion. Then add saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Try around 2 to 6 dB of drive and turn on soft clip. That gives the tail density and helps it read better in a busy mix. If it gets too harsh, back off with the dry/wet control rather than immediately pulling more EQ. After that, use drum bus if you want more character. Keep drive modest, use crunch sparingly, and be careful with boom. Boom can sound massive, but in a fast DNB arrangement it can also make everything blur if you overdo it. If the tail is too spiky, reduce transients a little. Finally, use utility and keep the tail mono. This is big, low-end width and DNB is usually a phase trap. Keep the sub centered and stable. If the tail is too long, shorten the MIDI note or the decay. Don't just turn it down and hope. In this style, the groove is often controlled more by note length than by level. Next, let's glue the tail to the drums with sidechain and bus shaping. Route your drums and your tail to a group or drum bus. On the tail, add a compressor or glue compressor and sidechain it from the kick or the drum group. You want the tail to duck when the kick hits so the front edge of the kick stays punchy. A good starting point is a ratio around 2 to 4 to 1, a fast attack somewhere around 1 to 10 milliseconds, and a release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. The exact values depend on tempo and feel, but the idea is simple. The tail breathes around the drums instead of sitting on top of them. On the drum bus itself, use glue compressor lightly if needed. You're only looking for maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Just enough to make the whole drum system feel unified. And here's a key coaching point. Keep checking the tail against the kick transient. If the kick loses its front edge, the tail is too long or too loud. Fix that before you go reaching for more EQ. In fast DNB tempos, tiny timing offsets matter a lot. Now let's bring in the Raga Chaos. This style lives on call and response. So once the tail is glued in, use it like a conversation piece. Let the tail answer a vocal chop. Let it support a skank stab. Let it drop out for tension, then come back with impact. A really effective 8-bar shape could look like this in your mind. Bars 1 and 2, the tail supports the main groove. Bar 3, a vocal chop hits and the tail gets a little quieter. Bar 4, the tail opens up again, maybe with a small pitch shift or filter change. Bars 5 and 6, skank stabs and a break variation take over. Bar 7, the tail drops out briefly to create space. Bar 8, you bring in a fill that leads into the next section. That contrast matters. If the tail is always on, it stops feeling special. A missing hit can make the next one feel much nastier. You can also use stock Ableton FX to add more character. Delay or echo can work beautifully on Raga vocal phrases. Auto filter automation is great if you want the tail to darken in a build and open up on the drop. Reverb can be used subtly on the vocal chop, but don't smear the subtail with reverb unless you're intentionally going for a dirty transition effect. A very useful trick is to automate the tail's filter cutoff lower during busy vocal moments, then open it slightly on the first hit of the drop. That gives you movement without clutter. If you want even more control, resample the groove. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling or route from the drum and tail group, and record 4 or 8 bars. Once you have the audio, consolidate the best sections and start editing. Trim the tail ends if they overlap awkwardly. Add fades. Reverse tiny bits before fills if you want a little pre-impact pull. Slice the rendered audio and re-trigger parts if you want variation. This is a really practical DNB workflow. Once you hear the drum and tail combo in audio, you often make better arrangement decisions because you're reacting to the actual groove, not endless MIDI tweaking. Now let's talk balance. Your 808 tail should never fight your main bass. If you're using a Reese, a Neuro layer, or a deep subline, the tail should either reinforce the root note briefly or sit in a different rhythmic pocket. The main bass handles the longer phrase. The 808 tail handles the blue at the edges. The kick provides the punch. The break provides the swing. If the low end is masking too much, carve a small dip in the tail around the fundamental of the kick or the main sub note. Usually just a small 2 to 3 dB cut in the right place is enough. And if you want extra perceived weight without flooding the mix, add a little upper harmonic content with saturation. That helps the tail read on smaller speakers while staying centered and controlled. A dirty tail often translates better than a louder one. A few common mistakes to watch out for. 1. Making the tail too long. That's probably the biggest one. It might feel heavy at a slower tempo, but at DNB speed it can smear everything. 2. Letting the 808 become the whole bass line. Don't do that unless the track is built around it. This method is a support layer. 3. Widening the low end too much. Keep the sub mono. 4. Oversaturating. Use density, not fuzz cloud. 5. Ignoring the break. The tail has to work with the break rhythm, not against it. 6. No sidechain control. If the tail doesn't duck, the kick loses authority. Here are a few pro moves if you want to push it further. Tune the tail to the root of the track. That makes it feel intentional and musical. Try tiny pitch drops on the tail for menace. A small downward movement can add aggression without sounding cheesy. Use a ghost tail version. Duplicate the 808 track. Make one copy very quiet and shorter, and use it only on fills or turnarounds. Try root switch moments. For a bar, move the tail to the fifth or octave, then land back on the root for impact. Use velocity to drive filter cutoff or saturation if you want the tail to respond like an instrument instead of a static sample. And always think in phrases. A really strong DNB drop usually benefits from variation every 2 or 4 bars, even if the variation is subtle. Here's a quick practice challenge you can do right now. Set a 15-minute timer. Pick a DNB break loop at your project tempo. Add a kick and snare pattern. Load 1-800-8 sample into Simpler and tune it. Write a simple 4-bar MIDI pattern with just 3 to 5 tail notes. Process it with EQ8, saturator, and drum boss. Sidechain it from the kick. Add 1 rag of vocal chop or skank stab. Then resample 4 bars and listen carefully. Ask yourself 3 things. Does the low end feel glued? Does the kick stay clear? And does the tail help the groove or just add noise? If you want the real test, mute the main bass. If the drop still feels heavy, the drums and tail are doing their job properly.